590 WKZO, good morning. Welcome to Over the Garden Fence, a special presentation this morning with your gardening host, Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence, of course, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center, located at the corner of Milam and 12th Street. We do have some timely tips that will begin this morning's segment, and then we'll get to some phone calls, some of the recent phone calls that we've had over the past little while here for Over the Garden Fence. So stick with us. Get some timely tips now with Andy.
Good morning, Green Thumbers, and welcome to another edition of Over the Garden Fence. Appreciate you listening in. How is your how's the garden growing this morning? You know, as we enter autumn, I hope you continue to have plenty of colorful blooms. You know, and if you don't, homeowners and gardeners who would like to enjoy more late summer color and early autumn color in their landscaping should take note this morning on some of the following plants. Garden asters are just about beginning to bloom and take over the duty of background color of many autumn gardens. I was showing a contractor the other night, Professor Kippenberg. And Professor Kippenberg is a variety of aster that I've been told that will grow in window boxes above ground over winter. It's that tough. Garden asters, that's just one of the many varieties. Garden asters perform as clouds of purple, white, and blue, and anywhere from compact varieties of foot or 18 inches tall up to background varieties that get up to 4 foot. I know a lot of gardeners, you know, but for some of the people who don't, fallen enemies fill more than the bill with outstanding white and pink flowers, with many withstanding frosty nights just fine. And I know they spread. My mother used to take Monarda and anemones and actually put them in 5 gallon buckets. Plant the 5 gallon bucket with, believe it or not, soil and everything pot right down the ground. Bury the plastic pot right in the ground, no drainage holes or anything, and that way that plant kind of has a little trap. Can't seem to catch and get out. Leave the lip of the plastic pot up about 2 inches or the 5 gallon bucket, and that way that plant has a chance to keep without escaping if you wanted something like that. A lot of yarrows right now are coming on for the second time. Yarrows have been kicking in for May and June, went back dormant. You know, you prune them back, now kicking in. One of the varieties I seen this week was pomegranate, bright reddish pink, complementing any garden right now. That was just a few of the perennials. In the yard this week, we've seen Rudbeckia really being the shining star this week. A lot of Rudbeckias that our perennial department carries that would be hardy. And again, look, there's some varieties that are not hardy that we carry. You know, folks, how many cool new sedums are on the market? You know, this ain't grandma's sedum anymore. Just to name a few of our perennial lineups and their sedums are Sedum Neon, Pink Chablis, Sunkissed with a golden green color, Lemon Ball, Angelina, Sars Gold. I love Tricolor, which is a great pink, red, and white. Very similar to Dragon's Blood, but not does not have, almost like Tricolor Beach, with the white tufted new growth with bright red flowers in the summertime. You've all heard of Hens and Chicks, I'm sure, but how about Cobweb, which is the more compact variety? A lot of these varieties take hot heat, bone dry, some areas where you just can't get the water or the water faucet and the hose to. This would be a great, great plant. A lot of these mature anywhere from 1 inch to probably about 3 foot tall. A lot of the sedum families are just beginning to show some of their autumn glory. Still need color? Still don't know what to do? Tired of the same old perennial? You know, let's take a look at some old standbys, some of the largest hybridizing on the market right now. Great color, texture, flower consistency, consistent bloom, drought tolerant, and great performance for our Michigan climates. Corabels just can't be beat. Yes, I said coral bells. You know the varieties that have just expanded, the Hercura family. Try Amber Waves, or amethyst fist, variegated silver or burgundy foliage, or caramel. You can almost taste the color of this one with its caramelized foliage and delicate sprays of white flowers. Need contrasting color for the shade? And yes, a lot of coral bells will take sun, but a lot of them actually prefer a high shade. Cooler ground. If you see a coral bell doing best, it's somewhere where it's getting watered, maybe on the east side where it's getting a part shade, part sun. Hot, dry, heat is very hard on coral bells. Like a nice one, though, for a little bit of shade, chocolate veil or cinnabar silver. All those varieties, new varieties that will take very well in the shade. A lot of greens and lime greens and yellows and chartreuses that will take very good high shade and even part shade to part sun. A lot of these varieties can even be rebloomers. My sister-in-law, Renee, her coral bells are so large, they're almost the size of spireas. She prunes off the flowers once they're spent. They tend to flower again and again, coming back and getting them pruned off again. So just a few varieties that I noticed that was out in our yard this week and matched up with our perennial department that looks so nice that I just wanted to compliment. Now let's take a... As I look and I pull out of my pocket this morning, there's a lot of things on my list that need to get done. So maybe we can take note and stuff that need to be done, timely issues. And I am not wanting to say that famous word, but you know what? Snow is going to come. We got to get stuff done. So everybody brags in May and June about iris. Have you looked at your iris right now? Pretty overcrowded, full of quack and crabgrass. I know mine are. Maybe its time need to be dug up and divided. As soon as iris foliage starts turning brown, the foliage or the energy starts going back into the root and storing before winter. Now is a perfect time to lift, pull, divide, and find out what is the good part of the iris. Any of the punky wood that has gotten bore into it, go ahead and peel those out. A lot of times those are the older, not fresher wood. Peel those back. Throw those away. Throw down some bone meal and fresh sand. Make sure there's good drainage incorporated in with a couple handfuls of clay soil conditioner under each rhizome. Pull your plant in and bring it up to you and cut most of that foliage back to about 4 to 6 inches, looking at the roots, making sure there is nothing, any holes in it, and then clean off any of the big longer shoots on the rhizomes, and then reset it in the ground so it's half in, half out. So the iris is actually almost sitting almost on the ground with some of the roots kind of dangling down into the soil. Pack well, water in a couple times, and you should have a very nice iris bed in the springtime. Wait a couple weeks, maybe 14, 20 days. Go ahead and throw some prenon. Maybe now your fresh soil that you've tilled over won't be so full of weeds in the springtime if you get a little bit of prenon it now. Nearly every perennial, though, folks, can be lifted and moved. Very soon, as soon as the foliage begins to start turning yellow, and yes, just like the iris. Once that flower ceases, it very easily can be split up. So the question is, how often should the perennial flowers be divided? Very general rule of thumb is dig up and divide perennials as they begin to show lack of vigor. A fewer flowers, maybe just starting to thin out. You know how you, good example might be buying daylilies. First couple years, look really good. Those Stella Dioras are happy returns. Some of you are chuckling right now. Look really good. About year number three, they really start maturing. One of our old perennial managers, Arlie Russell, used to say, first year perennials sleep. Second year, they creep. Third year, you reap. Well, about third or fourth year, they start getting maxed out. About 4 or 5 or 6 years, they need to be split up. Well, you can see that vigor start leaving on that plant. Good time to lift, move, thin out, give to kids, give to mom, split them up. Most perennials need September to root in after being divided, so do begin now. Before dividing and transplanting, again, soil conditioning in the new planting area is recommended. Set aside some of the topsoil. Discard the subsoil. In a bushel container, make the following mix. 1/3 Waddell's composted cow manure. 1/3 bushel of the topsoil from the planting hole. 1/3 of a bushel of sphagnum peat moss. 6 cups of your plant tone and 2 cups of the non-steamed bone meal. I go ahead and now I'd like to add 6 ounces of the mycorrhiza tree and shrub and make that planting hole as large as possible. Half bushel basket size if the room allows it. Dig up only perennial clumps, lifting them. Carefully avoid breaking off all the roots. Split up the clumps with a sharp knife or shovel. I've even had to use my grandfather to show us how you take an axe to some of those ornamental grasses. They were so thick. Split up clumps with a sharp knife or shovel, like I said, making sure to leave 3 to 4 eyes on each division. Why split them down to one eye? That's you know, give a nice eye or a clump, maybe 4 or 5 eyes if you have a lot of them. Set new divisions in the prepared soil mix at the same level as the previous location. Firm soil around the roots and soak in with a couple gallons of the root stimulator. Be sure to make maybe do plant identification. We got a lot of plant stickers ranging from plastic and wood and aluminum that you could put the name on the plant, so then you actually remember when it comes up in the springtime or when you're planting, say, bulbs in November and all the perennials have gone dormant. You forget about that new perennial that you just put in the ground there a couple months ago. Just a couple ideas on perennials. Now, as I walk around the yard, I can't help in my yard but to find a lot of mole activity right now. And maybe some of the other folks are chuckling because I'll tell you, we applied in the spring, and you can tell where I applied that bug granulars. And it really took effect, and I just did not apply the whole entire yard, and mole activity is at an all-time high, especially with that moisture being in the lawn. So a lot of lawns took a beating in July and August from insects and disease and moles. As the pressure declines, now, though, is the time to rejuvenate. Work on your thin and bare spots in the lawn and the turf areas as soon as possible. Get a start on sowing seed in late August and September. It'll actually germinate and establish faster than spring planted seed. Did you actually hear that? Fall planting for seed is better than spring. You'll get a more of a longer period where that ground is cool than in the springtime. You'll get better germination. Hit it now. Start a project now. Bring in a sod sample and a soil sample to Waddell's for a free analysis and a program for success. Last week we had some callers, Larry and I did, and we appreciate the over a dozen calls last weekend, and just had a great time on the radio. I had a chance to talk to a gentleman about some tomato plants, so I just want to make sure that, tomato plants have really taken a couple weeks off recently with these cooler nights. The fruit is not ripening or coloring up near as fast as you want, but be patient and prune out any foliages blocking sunlight on your tomatoes. Also, prune out any blooms that will never produce and allow more sun to reach the ripened green fruit. Give her extra attention to the fruit to maximize their growth and ripening potential. Like I said, there is a dessert for tomatoes, and it's 9:59:08. It's called Root and Bloom. It's a great, awesome food for tomatoes. It just makes them flourish if you're trying to get that last push, especially since the tomato is an annual. Another 60 days are going to be spent anyways. I can give a quick example, and it's not with tomatoes, but it is with my grapes. And I went ahead and one night I had a chance to prune out and clean up all the foliage that was on top of the grape. Got that cleaned off, opened up all that sunlight into some of the new bundles or grape areas that are all over the stems. whole bunch of bunches of grapes, and but I didn't have a chance to finish. So lo and behold, driving the mower through the other night, there is that batch that I cut all those leaves off. All the grapes were bright purple. Took a bunch and started eating them. I mean, they were almost ready. I went down even 10 more feet, and the same batch of grapes, the same stem, didn't have foliage cleaned off. They were still green. So just goes to prove, get that sunlight out on the plant. Weeds growing up around the shade, the winter squash and the pumpkins lately? If so, cut down the weeds now to allow as much sunlight to reach the fruit. The growing season for squash and pumpkins is nearly over, and allowing all the sun to penetrate the fruit will increase the yields. Again, clean out foliage. Probably the extent of the vine is probably spent. Get that opened up. So those are just a few things out in the yard. The last thing today we want to talk about is a couple more things. A lot of rhododendron and azalea problems lately. A lot of people having issues with azaleas and rhododendrons having pale color, spent flowers, a lot of a leaf drop. Probably with this wet moisture that we've had this summer, now we're getting a little heat. You're getting either Phytophthora or canker on some of the small leaf PJM rhododendron family. Some azaleas can get it too. Very easy to put our copper solution on there if you wanted. Systemic fungicide would sure help on there. But check your pH. We, like I said a couple weeks ago, we did a soil pH and water pH. And some of that was in the high sevens from the water that was pumping out of the well and out of the city water. So that's high. You want your pH, especially on rhododendron and azalea, 7 being neutral on the pH scale. You want it at about 5.5 to 6. We were almost 2 points too high. Oak the same way. Very poor color. Hydrangea the same way. Rose of Sharon. pH is all too high because a lot of the water is now on an alkaline basis. Item to keep in mind there on the rhododendron. Last thing is, last night had a very nice birthday party, and I enjoyed my sister's birthday. But I'll tell you know what else came to the birthday party? And I'll tell you, they came in swarms, and that is those mosquitoes. It's been a wet season, and so it has been very hard to control and not getting eaten alive. My little boy and me took a tractor ride, and I couldn't get that tractor going fast enough, and that it was like a swarm, like a baseball bat coming right at us. Mosquito explosion has come on in the last couple weeks. Why is this so? You know, explanation can be very simple. With the spring and summer heavy rains, produces many inches of rains, many inches of water, the moisture has continued to stay around in the low areas of the county. Produces a huge crop of summer floodwater mosquitoes. One indicator of summer floodwater population is a very large species, the largest in Michigan, called the gallinippers. And that, I think, was what was after me last night. It actually can be alarming when it lands on your arm or leg and attempts to feed. The persistent adult females can be over a half inch long and have hairy legs with yellow bands. They are never very abundant, but you won't forget if one bites you. And actually, I said to George last night, it felt like it actually bit me, not stung me. So how to deal with the onslaught? Surround the perennial beds, wood lines. We suggest like 38 plus. Spring in the early evenings or the early mornings. Get just a nice kill with that. Or we got this mosquito repellent granulars. And a combination of that should be able to remedy. We also suggest if you have cedar oil that you could apply that also, and that sure helps. So I just hope you guys all have a lot of this on your journal, and we get out in the yard and get some work done.
Now is the best time of year to improve the quality of your lawn. If you're planning to plant grass seed this autumn, you'll need to kill off weeds and undesirable grasses first. You can knock lawn weeds dead with Weed Free Zone. Fertilome Weed Free Zone's carfenazone formula will kill broadleaf weeds better than any other weed control, and it's much less expensive than other weed and grass killer brands. Weedells carries 5 Weed Free Zone products, including the 8-ounce concentrate that's on sale this week for just $14.25, and the quart-size ready-to-spray Weed Free Zone bottle that attaches to the hose and covers 20,000 square feet is on sale for $38.29. For smaller jobs, get the ready-to-spray bottle on sale for just $6.19. If you need to kill all the weeds and grasses in an area, Killzall is the answer. All three sizes of Killzall are on sale at Waddell's, including the pint concentrate, for just $9.63. Don't know the best way to control your weed or insect problems? The Plant Doctor is always in and ready to help you. Just bring in samples to the Plant Diagnostic Center at Waddell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
In the WKZO.com newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. A group called Hello West Michigan's running an ad campaign in northern Indiana and Chicago, encouraging former Michigan college grads who work in healthcare and engineering to come back home. The executive director told TV 13 that the campaign is aimed at millennials who haven't sunk roots yet. The ads say the beaches here are cleaner, the commutes are shorter, and the cost of living is lower. They're using billboards, online ads, and subway ads to get out the message. A group of Kalamazoo pastors, community leaders, and businessmen who came together to raise money to save the Douglas Community Center has scheduled a news conference for next Wednesday to announce they've reached their $100,000 goal. They say in a news release it's come in the form of cash and in-kind contributions. Exact figures have not been released. And a shoplifting investigation led to a meth bust in Sturgis on Thursday. Police were called to Glick's clothing store on a retail fraud complaint, and the suspects were tracked to a nearby Speedway gas station. A search of their vehicle turned up a large amount of meth and evidence of meth making. In the WKZO.com newsroom, I'm Andrew Green.
Waddell's, your all-season garden center, has just received fresh shipments of colorful plants waiting to brighten your outdoor living area. Check out the fresh shipment of chrysanthemums. They're extra hardy and produce a neat round dome of flowers in sunny yellow, eye-catching white, rosy red, and fall bronze colors. Waddell's has an assortment of sizes from large to supersize. Now is also the time to plant German bearded iris for beautiful orchid-like blooms next spring. Choose from 18 colors of tall iris, now just $4.89 each, or three for $13.80. A beauty that's just starting to bloom is the perennial aster. Choose from eight beautiful colors, now just $6.29 each. It's also the time to put in ornamental grasses. Tall or short, blue, green, or burgundy, with seed heads or without, ornamental grasses add an interesting look to your landscape. And be sure to check out Waddell's Rose Gardens. Your choice of over 40 varieties of rose bushes are now 50% off while they last. Enjoy your gardens to the fullest with beautiful quality plants and helpful information from the experts at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
Thank you for taking my call. I have trumpet vines, several of them, and the leaves have brown all over them now. But they look, it's not spots, it's like little long, it looks like a worm has crawled on it.
Okay.
Like worm, but there's nothing on the back, no aphids. There's no bugs I can find on it.
But there's long little trailers of where they've skeletonized the leaf.
Yes.
And I'm not being funny. It's not Japanese beetles. You haven't seen those on the trumpet vine?
Well, I know what they look like, and I haven't seen them, but I haven't maybe looked real close.
Okay. Now, they usually will attack the flower, not attack, but they'll all hibernate inside that flower and eat the flower usually. And I was right at a trumpet vine last night, just touched the flower, and they just kind of, the jab beetles poured out of it. But if you have issues with trumpet vine that you're maybe having a bug on, you could always bring in a leaf just to double check if you wanted to. Probably type of leaf hopper. And if it, or something that's skeletonizing for sure, you could do your Fertilome systemic insecticide. What's nice about these, ma'am, instead of doing your spraying, you could actually do a soil drench, because trumpet vine is not edible. And so that systemic insecticide, you mix with water, you put on the trunk or the base of the tree. Trumpet vines sometimes get really good size, so that vine gets a nice trunk to it, and mix it with water, and you can pour that on the base of the plant and soak it up. Plant will become poisonous to the insect, but not poisonous to the birds that are coming in on it.
Okay.
Okay, if it is...
I walked out and brought my phone, and I'm shaking the flowers, but nothing's coming out of
them. That's good.
And I can't see any Japanese beetles. I have had Japanese beetles past years.
Yes, Ann. But here's what I might do. And if you want to do a topical you could always put on 7 or Carbaryl. Either one of those would be fine if you wanted to dust that trumpet vine at the same time.
Okay, I have 7 here from last year.
Yep. What's nice about the 7, you can do a powder, but what's bad about a 7 and putting it right on, first rain will take it right off. And that's what's nice.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to rain today.
And that's what's nice, Ann, about the systemic insecticide. You put it on, the plant drinks it up, and you really don't have to worry about it. I used to put that on with my honeysuckle vine. It got aphids so bad, I couldn't keep them under control. Put that on, just ridded it of the aphid, and it'd take care of that no problem. Now, it takes time, and it's not going to overnight drink it up, but it's a good long-term results from that.
Now, can you use that on most plants that you don't eat?
On most plants that you don't eat, it will not
control. Like most flowers?
Yeah. Yep, just won't. Systemic insecticide for now will not control spider mite. I do know that. Most of the other insects it will take care of pretty good, though, for you.
Okay, you were talking about roses earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Are those anything like hedge roses?
They are. You know what? And years ago, they used to all, the antique varieties or older varieties were all called hedge roses. And they'd come up so easy and wouldn't flower, but just one or two times. Now, they've taken those hedge roses and developed them into varieties that are non-grafted. They overwinter without mulch. If you mulch them, great. But if you kind of ignore them, they'll still come back pretty good. And so paprika's one. Oh, So Easy is the series. But we have paprika, cherry pie, and honey bun are all three varieties.
Great.
Yeah, there are three nice ones that we have at the store for summer and fall sales.
Now, in the past, I had tea roses, and they took so much care. I just gave them up because I don't have time. Do these have to be require a lot of care?
No. And that's what's nice about
the old hedge roses, I know, didn't.
No. These are very easy to maintain, and if you prune them and get the old flower head off, great. If you don't, these Oh So Easy roses will grow right up and around it and flower again and again and again.
Neat.
Yep. And that paprika is a dark orange. It's real pretty.
So you don't have to spray them on a regular, like once a month or
no,
do
ma'am.
All that stuff?
Nope. You could put that systemic insecticide down at the same time. Roses are non-edible, so that's something that you could do easy with that also, Ann. So I think if you stop down, you'd be really impressed with them. They're a nice little plant.
And they take full sun.
Full sun to...
like most roses.
Most roses, yep.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah, Ann, good luck.
I had a question about growing trumpet vine from sprouts. Our trumpet vine has probably been in for 25 years, and mm-hmm. it sends up shoots maybe 20 feet or more from the main plant.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't want them in my yard, you know, out in the middle of the yard, but I would like to... promote them so they will grow. I've had so much trouble. I just don't seem to be able to get any of that those sprouts to take root.
Yep. So here's, Jim, what I do. Find that sprout, mark it, put a stake by it, cut around the vine itself, the sprout that's coming up. Leave it in the ground. Just all you did is just did some root pruning. The majority of that plant, go ahead and leave. All of our transplanting at our vines at our farm is done in the spring. So the last frost of the spring, you've severed those roots, but you've left it in the ground, the insulation of the snow, let it overwinter fine. Mid-April, last week in April, go ahead and lift that up and then remove all the roots and the dirt combination, and then go ahead and plant it in some... like your Fertilome potting soil,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll have it come out of dormancy planted rather than try to move it and put it right back in the ground. You're probably going to have a little better luck if you do vines in the springtime. Sometimes that trailer, Jim, you said goes out 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's only
at
one.
At least.
It's only one runner, though. So if you sever that whole rest of the plant, the tip is going to suffer the worst, and that's what you're trying to transplant. So number two, when you do transplant, if you're trying to do something this fall, you got so many runners and you want to try, when you prune the roots, prune the top, Jim. A lot of times people will try to, well, this is a nice one, and it's got lots of new growth. Go ahead and cut it, and then it wilts really bad. Well, you might as well, if you're going to cut the roots, Cut the top. Sever the top because you've severed the roots at the same time. Second item, go ahead and put root stimulant. It's a liquid, and you can mix that with water, and it's not going to be for top growth, but more so for root development. And so you, it's a vitamin B12, and you can mix that with water and soak that in, and that'll make those little hairy roots, especially with vines, take off a little easier. And Jim, I will say, even though those come up real easy, that at our farm is one of the harder of the vines for us to take off. Once they take off, they're fine. But things like honeysuckle and clematis shoot up a lot easier for us than clematis, or than the trumpet vine itself.
Now, Ken, you know how the seed pods in the sprig?
Yep.
They're dry. You just touch them, and it's like snow coming out of here.
It is. It is.
Can you grow the seedlings from seed?
You can. You'd have to scarcify or nick the seed pod and make sure that you've broken the callus on it or the shell on it to make sure when you are planting it. My thoughts are just don't put it in potting soil. Do it in seed starting soil so when you do have those seeds come up, you won't have damping off or the rotting on it.
Do you plant the entire pod or do you break that open?
No, I'd break it open, but usually you're not. It's almost like yucca, Jim. You really don't usually have much results planting the seeds more so than planting the vine, trying to transplant the vine. But go ahead and water, put water in a little bowl, put those seeds in the bowl, let them float for a couple hours. You'll see the ones that are good, the ones that are floating, are full of air and they're no good. So if once you soak them, then you could probably put those in that Fertilome seed starting soil. It's meant for non-damping off, so when those little sprouts come up, they don't rot compared to regular topsoil.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, Jim, good luck on that.
590 WKZO, this has been a special presentation of Over the Garden Fence. Andy Waddell will be back live.